Well, this evening we're going to go back to Psalm 27. And it's brought to my notice. Over the years I've preached several times of Psalm 27. So in one sense I apologise for that, but in another sense it's obviously something that God has laid on my heart and I've been blessed by it, and I'm going to share all the blessings with you. And I trust it is a blessing as we look into God's word together. Psalm 27. We might read the whole psalm. We're only going to look at part of it tonight, but we'll read the whole psalm. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me, put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help, leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses have risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you how you've preserved it. We have it in our hands, we can read it, and it's a work of the Holy Spirit ministering it to us. Lord, we pray that will be so tonight, that it will be a living word. We pray in our Saviour's name. Amen. We're just going to look at a portion tonight, verses 7 to 9 or 7 to 10. Somewhere around about there. A British preacher said, if you're not seeking the Lord, the devil is seeking you. If you're not seeking the Lord, judgment is at your heels. And we see that David has written this psalm here. When thou said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, Lord, unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. David wrote Psalm 27 in which he declares his heart seeks the face of the Lord. However, we know there were times, as God has faithfully recorded of David's life, when David was not seeking the face of the Lord, when he was pursuing the satisfaction of his own lust and then attempting to resolve the outcome of that situation by his own means. It was not possible for David to be seeking the face of the Lord when he was seeking to please himself. For at that time his heart was centered on himself, on his own pursuits, and certainly not on the Lord. In Isaiah 30 verse 18, it reads at the end, for the Lord is a God of judgment. And we know from the scriptures the judgment of God was at David's heels at times as God judged him for his sin. However, this verse also speaks of the grace and the mercy of God toward those who would return and seek after him. Isaiah 30 verse 18 says, and therefore will the Lord wait that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. Down in verse 9 it says, hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. We see there it was David's cry that God would not deal with him according to his sin, but according to God's mercy and God's grace. David certainly acknowledged that God would be quite justified, quite right, correct in leaving and forsaking him. But David's plea was that God would not do that, because he says that in God alone is my salvation. I have no hope in anyone else or anything else. God, you are my only hope. You are my salvation. And so with us as Christians, we can't be seeking God and self pursuits simultaneously. God will judge, but we also know that he's gracious. He is will wait. He's patient and he's merciful. And if we will just turn and seek after him. So we think about this seeking after God. Is seeking God something we do naturally? Well, we're reminded, 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, but they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." And we tend to think of this as the lost, but this was written to Christians. For though the old man is dead, the natural man, the sin nature, or self, is still within us, still very much alive. And we read the next verse 15 of 1 Corinthians 2, "But he that is spiritual judges all things." Yeah, it's only as we are filled with the Holy Spirit. That is, he that is spiritual. That's what spiritual is, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Under the control of the Holy Spirit, will we even seek? Will we even have that desire? Or would we even pursue to seek the face of God, as David has expressed here? You know, this is why many Christians do not seek after God, for they really are controlled by the flesh rather than the Holy Spirit. And sometimes, as you would know, it's difficult to discern between a carnal Christian and a person who's not saved, who one is lost. And that God knows. God is long-suffering, and he has promised he will chastise his children. Hebrews 12, a great chapter to have a look at, expression of God's love and God's love in chastising, and in a sense a good instruction for parents, to love is to chastise. And so if there is no chastening, it may well indicate the person is not truly one of his children. The Bible gives us all the instruction, everything we need to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord. And instructs us also in a way in that aspect to fulfill that which David expressed, where David said, "Thy face, Lord, will I seek." And what does it mean to seek the face of the Lord? What is required for us, and what's instruction of Scripture regarding seeking God's face or the face of the Lord? Well, here's some things. Firstly, I want to point out it must be a sincere seeking. But firstly, we are to seek God in faith. Hebrews 11:1 and through verse 3 and then verse 6, we'll see faith is a very much a component that we have to exercise and have in seeking after God. "Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds are framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God," and we say he that seeks God, "must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." So we see that the seeking aspect and seeking after God his face, in that sense, that relationship, must commence with faith. But without faith, it is impossible. Why will we seek after God if we don't believe he is who he has revealed himself to be in his word? We've not seen God. We cannot prove his existence, but we have certainly evidence. We have creation. We have God's word and all the historical and archaeological proofs involved in that. We have lives, our own lives that God has taken and transformed. There's certainly plenty of evidence. But simply believing that God is who he is, has said he is and will do, is what is a matter of faith. That was what Abraham was commended for. He was commended for his faith. But what was that faith? What was the sense of that faith? He was strong in faith, and says he was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. So, yes, we're going to seek after God. It must be on a basis and a footing of faith. Then we are to seek God diligently. In that same passage in verse 6, the latter part of the verse 6 says, he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. There's a reward for those who diligently seek him. The concept of seek is effort, an application. It literally means to seek out him. Seek out him. And that's not done laying back in an armchair. That's earnestness. That's persevering. Interesting, columnist Herb Kane wrote in the San Francisco Chronicle many years ago, he says, every morning in Africa, a gazelle wakes up. It knows it must run faster than the fastest lion or it will be killed. And every morning in Africa, a lion wakes up. It knows it must outrun the slowest gazelle or it will starve to death. It doesn't matter whether you are a lion or a gazelle. When the sun comes up, you'd better be running. Now, Mr. Larson speaks from a spiritual perspective of the same thing. He says, in the Christian life, it's not enough simply to wake up. We are called to run, to become more like Christ, to press ahead in godliness. And an aspect of that is to be seeking after God. It's not casual seeking, that's for sure, that we see there from that illustration. We are seeking diligently when we are careful to maintain our daily reading and our studying of God's Word, the Bible. And we are seeking diligently when we take every opportunity to be hearing God's Word expounded, to be in a group that's studying the Bible, to be amongst some men who are discussing the Word of God. That's seeking diligently. We're seeking every opportunity to be part of and blessed by and edified by that. And if we're not having a passion to be involved in God's Word daily and so on and with others, we are hardly seeking. We are seeking diligently when we set ourselves to walk in fellowship with the Lord each day. What's your first thought when you wake up of a morning? Good thing to think about, isn't it? What do I think of first when I wake up in the morning? Is it the Lord? Is it, Lord, what would you have me do today? Lord, guide my steps today. Lord, I live for you today. That's a seeking. That's a seeking heart. So, yeah, every moment. And referring everything of the day to his perfect will, to his guidance, his direction. Then we are to seek in humility. Proverbs 69:32 says, the humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. The humble will be glad, and the humble will be seeking God. The proud heart does not seek after God, but there is a need for humility in seeking God. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Interesting portion of that verse, same as here in Psalm 27, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now, I know that's a wonderful verse. I know Brother Mike preached on it. Still remember him preaching on this verse. And we might take it as, you know, to the nation or people in general, but is God saying, if my people, God's people, God's children, which are called by my name, he says, shall humble themselves and seek my face. The humility comes first before seeking can come into place. Only in humility can we seek after God. Only in humility can we seek his face, for God does not grant this by any merit of ours, not because of any of our works, not because of any of our service, not because of any standing or position we hold, But when we show our utter dependence on him, that's humility. We could say there are no entrance gates for seeking after God that hasn't got humility over the top of it. Then we are to seek God wholeheartedly, not half-heartedly. How can it be a seeking when it's half-hearted? Deuteronomy 4:29 says, "For from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him." But there is an if. "If thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul." Thou shalt find him is a wonderful promise, but it's a conditional promise. It says, "If thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul." What's our heart? Our heart, hard to express in words, isn't it? Our heart is our love. Our heart is our desire. The soul is certainly our mind, emotions, and our will. So are we seeking God with all our love and our desire and our mind and our emotions and our will? God has set a condition by which he is to be sought, and thus the promise is he will be found when we fulfill that condition with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Jeremiah, in his letter of encouragement to those who are in captivity in Babylon, to seek not the false dreamers. He said, don't go listen to the false dreamers. Don't go listen to the false prophets. Don't seek after them. But he says, wholeheartedly, seek me. Seek the Lord. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." And this is to a people who are so far away from their land and in captivity. He said, "Seek me and you'll find me. But it'll only be when you search for me with all your heart." Psalm 63:1, a psalm of David, when he was in the wilderness of Judah. He says, "O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee." Isn't that a sense of searching, seeking? "My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary." I see the heart of David, isn't it, there, his wholeheartedness. He says, "Yeah, I'm seeking after God just like seeking water in a dry and thirsty land." And he wants to see the power and the glory of God. Do we ever do that? Do we ever say, "Lord, I really want to see your power at work. I want to see your glory. I want to be part of this. And it's, you know, just like I've seen you in your word doing this and doing that, Lord, do those things in my life and through my life." Psalm of David, a heart seeking after God. But then we are to seek God as our priority. There is no seeking God as a second option or something down the scale. It must be our first priority, our priority. Proverbs 8:17 says, "I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me." What a wonderful promise. This early, I looked up this early, and it has a somewhat broad meaning. It can be early in time. It could be early in the morning, for instance, early in the beginning of the day. It could also be early in some particular season. It can be early in life, or it can be early in opportunity. But it's seeking as a priority God. Matthew 6:33, we know well, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Yeah, there are some wonderful promises that God's going to give to us all we need. But there's conditions, and often it's the case with God's promises. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God," not as a second thought, and not somewhere down as a plan B or C or D or E or whatever. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. We see that our seeking after the Lord is to be a priority in our lives, not something that is done part-time, not something that's done with a half-hearted effort when convenient. That's not seeking God in priority. Then we are to seek God joyfully. "Let all those that seek thee rejoice," in Psalm 70, verse 4, "and be glad in thee. And let such as love thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified." Let all that seek thee rejoice and be glad. There's a joy in seeking after God. It's not a misery. It's a delight. It's something that's wonderful. great joy in seeking after God, knowing that he has promised to be found, knowing that he's promised to meet us and to give us all we need and to bring us to that wonderful place of seeing his glory and walking in fellowship with him. It's for our joy to seek God and to seek after God daily as a manner of life. Then we are to seek God through the eternal, the spiritual, not the flesh, not the world, not the temporal, but through that which is eternal. Colossians 3:1 says, if ye then be risen with Christ, we're new life in Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And this is a good examination for us, isn't it? We can say, what am I seeking? God says, if you are born again, you're risen with Christ, you're new life in Christ, God says, seek those things which are above. Am I doing that? Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And we think about this, what is it we're seeking? We're seeking God, we're seeking his word, the eternal word, we're seeking that which is spiritual, we're seeking that which is eternal. That's our priority, and that's what we seek after. We seek after God through the eternal, through the spiritual. That we had looking at is the sincere seeking, but there's also a warning in Scripture about false seeking and false seekers. There's this false seeking which God condemns, and God is not deceived in any wise by it. And we see the examples in Scripture. And we take Israel as an example. The children of Israel sought the Lord, but God rejected their seeking, for it was only an outward show. It was some outward procedure. There was no seeking from their heart. Isaiah 58:1 says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily, and delight to know my ways. Interesting. As a nation that did righteousness, and forsook not the ordinance of their God, they ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure and exact all your labours. The Lord rejected their seeking. He condemned them for their manner of life, which was total contradiction of their outward show of seeking him. They didn't live that way. They just went through these outward routines, religious routines. Their manner of life was that they had no time for compassion for others, for the needy, for the hungry, for the homeless. They were really intent on their own personal selfish gain at the expense of everyone else. And God condemned them for it. He said, you think you're seeking after me. You're not. Their whole life was centered around themselves. I won't read there tonight, but have a read of Isaiah 58. Very enlightening to see how these false religiousness of the children of Israel and their false seeking after God, and God sees through it and, of course, condemns them for it. Isaiah 29:13 says, wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honour me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precepts of men. What's he saying? Yes, they go through all the routines of what they say, and their lips do honour me, but they have removed their heart far from me. And it's not the case of someone else removed the heart. They have removed their heart. They have stepped away from God. And it's far from God, not just a little bit. And their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men, not a fear of the Lord, not a genuine fear of the Lord, rather a religious observance. Their seeking God was so very false, and of course God saw through it, right through it, and that is not a sincere seeking, of course. Proverbs speaks of God rejecting those who outwardly sought him but had rejected his counsel, and he's reproving them, and the fact they did not fear God. So again, we see a similar situation, not so much situation, but a teaching here in Proverbs. Proverbs 1:28 says, then they shall call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Now, that's very different to a promise that we read of God, you know, seek after me and you shall find me and so on. But here he says, they shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Back in verse 23, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I'll make known my words unto you. Because I have called and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel. Set at naught all my counsel. And that counsel was from God. And no doubt it was through godly men and through the word of God. But it was from God. And they set it at naught. They despised it. They counted it for nothing. And would none of my reproof. You know, God reproved them, but they wouldn't have any regard for the reproof. Verse 26, I will also laugh at your calamity. I'll mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, God says, I'll laugh at your calamity. Verse 29, for they that hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. It's a choosing to live in the fear of the Lord. And he goes on, they were none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. Not maybe. They shall. They shall eat of the fruit of their own way and they'll be filled with their own devices. This is condemnation of people who were falsely seeking God or making out they were, but God says, you wouldn't listen to me. You wouldn't take my counsel. You wouldn't take my reproof. You have no heart for me. You choose not to fear the Lord. And so you're going to eat the fruit of your way. And, you know, there's a sense where we are to a certain extent subject to seeking the temple. We have to. For there are these temporal aspects of our life that we cannot avoid. But our desire and our purpose of life should be to seek the eternal. And those things pertaining to God and his instructions to us. And the treasures. Seek after those treasures that are ours in Jesus Christ. And we see there in Proverbs 1 a very stern warning for those who would reject the Lord's reproof and reject his counsel and want nothing of his knowledge. Those don't want to know him, nor do they fear the Lord. So there are certainly warnings in Scripture for false-seeking and warning in Scripture for not seeking. One other example is an example of Saul's life, and Saul is a very interesting person to look at in this regard. Saul, as a young man, commenced with such a tremendous natural abilities. His strength and the opportunities that he had, not only his great physique, he stood head and shoulders above others. So he was a big, strong man and young, and he had a leadership ability. But he was humble when he started, it appears, when you read through, when he was first anointed as king. But how that changed. So quickly he became proud and sought not the Lord. His whole direction and outcome of life was a product of a heart that did not truly seek after God. If we could condense it down to that, there are other factors obviously in Saul's life, but we can condense it down to that. Saul's failure was he sought not after God. Saul did not seek the Lord in time of battle or in difficulties. He always leant to his own devices. He made some very rash and foolish decisions, for he did not seek the Lord for direction or wisdom. And he sought his own honour before the honour of the Lord. There, as I go through, and I'm happy to be corrected, but I really couldn't find any account of Saul seeking after God. He didn't seek the wisdom of God in what he had to do. After Samuel had died, Saul sought the guidance from one with a familiar spirit. And that was in disobedience of God's command. But necromancy was strictly forbidden by the law of Moses. Leviticus 20 verse 6 says, and the soul that turneth after, that is, seeks after, such as have familiar spirits, and after wizards to go whoring after them, I'll even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among the people. It's a very stern warning. And, of course, this was the outcome of the life of one whose heart never sought the Lord. For these are the words spoken by God about him after his death. And we read in 1 Chronicles 10:13, where it speaks of the Lord speaking about Saul, actually. It says, "So Saul died for his transgression, which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord, which he kept not, and also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire of it, and inquired not of the Lord." He didn't seek after the Lord. "Therefore he slew him and turned the kingdom into David, the son of Jesse." This is Saul's epitaph, isn't it? That he sought not the Lord. It's a good warning to look at Saul's life. And Saul was a man with great opportunities, so clever, capable, a great soldier, a man of stature and so on, physical stature. But Saul failed, and God speaks of his failure. And Saul sought not the Lord. He didn't inquire the Lord. He sought not the Lord. You remember Saul was one who hated and persecuted Samuel and David? He'd murdered 85 priests and slaughtered the city of the priests, the women, the children, the animals. Remember all that? In all his doings, he had not truly nor wholeheartedly sought the Lord, and he failed to be the man of God he should have been. And he failed to lead the people whom God had entrusted to his leadership. So Saul failed because Saul sought not the Lord. Galatians 6:7. "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." We can say, "Whatsoever a man seeketh, that shall he find." And if he seeks that which is wrong, that's where he's going to end up. Saul inquired not of the Lord. He sought not the Lord, and when he did seek him, he could not find him. Remember in the account of Saul at the end there, "For he did not seek him with all his heart and with all his soul." And we're reminded what that meant was there was no humility in Saul in his seeking. There was no repentance. There's no seeking after God. He was seeking for instruction, but not seeking after the Lord himself. Those that walk with the Lord, pleasing him and enjoying the abundant life in Christ, are those who seek the Lord with all their heart. Mr. D.L. Moody comes and says, "I'm tired and sick of half-heartedness." You don't like a half-hearted man. You don't care for anyone who loves you with a half heart, and the Lord won't have it either. "I never saw men seeking Christ with all their hearts, but they soon found him." Good things to remember, what God be having us to do. When we wander off from walking with the Lord, it seems it is no more about the Lord. It's not so much about us seeking the Lord, but the Lord seeks us. How it must please him when we seek after him. And what a reward of blessing and joy he has for those who do seek him with all their heart and with all their soul, to the absolute exclusion of self. That's what God looks for us to be doing. So this evening, can we really say, can we sincerely say, we saw the insincere, but we also noted the sincere, and all those aspects of sincerity in seeking after the Lord. But can we, every one of us, say this evening, "Thy face, Lord, will I seek"? It'd be a great commitment for us to do that, and a great commitment for us to do it his way, according to the scripture, in humility and as a priority and in a spiritual sense, and seeking that which is heavenly and so on. Will I say tonight, "Thy face, Lord, will I seek"? Let me finish with Luke 17:33, and it talks about seeking. "Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it." And could we say, whosoever will seek after the Lord and give his life to him shall preserve it? Amen.